several things happen. A, you get a certain quantity of pertinent information. What I mean by that is I may see a world die. I may see a world to give birth to. Okay, those are pertinent. In other words, important knowledge comes to me from having these mental probes all the way out in like deep regions of space. But after a while, you recall these probes. It's almost like you can tell that they're at a point where they need to be refueled. It's not that they can't take more knowledge. There's no limit to absorbing knowledge. Even though knowledge is energy, I guess there's a certain quantity that the energy can consist and format into something before it starts to feed on its own energy that's making it exist. So you almost have to recoil this quantity. And yes, you download it, but the downloading is so immense of the human brain, I mean, that it's painful in some cases. I mean, from headaches, nosebleeds, to migraines, to whatever, you almost have to digest it over months and months and months. And then all of a sudden, it's basically realizations. You just all of a sudden start to just know intensive things. And that's from the recalling of this kind of information. But you just don't instantaneously know. It's kind of
which
like
is the lotus,
absorbed.
Right?
Hmm?
Which is the lotus, the crown chakra, right?
Right. Does that help?
So did I have kind of an experience of astral projection? Like, remember my story at Mama Gruy, and I started visualizing my energy and gaining energy and sending it out and visualizing the land around me, and all of a sudden I knew exactly what off-ramp, exactly where the gas station was.
But that's not mainstream astral projection. Okay, see, we're going to go down this route now. That's my look. See what you started? You'll learn. This is why I say you guys should have to keep your mouth shut. Anyway, the point is that there are many forms of astral projection. We must not just say, throw the term around astral projection, or that's astral projection. Because there's such a variety of projecting that it's very important to know the differences so that you can yield the most out of that experience and do it over and over again. What you likely did is called massive simulation. Because you didn't necessarily say that you were like hovering and seeing things. You just seemed to have nowhere to go. It's like you somehow had the data. It was like almost like you'd been there before, but you hadn't been. And you're not saying it was a deja vu. You just really just knew where everything was. Massive simulation is to say that energy has no limit. In other words, a pool of water, which is an Olympic-sized pool, let's say, for Olympic training, massive, probably as big as this building, okay? You can swim on the other end without fear. But if I was to drop some electrical cords in the far off distant end into the water is likely to become purely electrified, correct? And if you were to stick your foot in the other end, way down on the other side, you'd probably become electrocuted, correct? So the energy consumed every square inch of this water without having any other wires connected. You are simulated by taking almost an entire town area in by letting your energy connect to a grid.
I felt the car, like I was the car.
That's right.
I felt the freeway.
Exactly.
The trees.
That's called a simulation. Okay, so it's not projection, it's a simulation.
So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gas. There's my gas.
Right. And that's what that's called. And so it's very different than astral projection. A simulation, yes. And that's a very large way of using a simulation. In most cases, people just use it to like become the couch or to become an object to experience what it is to become it. But it definitely can be used in that way. And it goes right back down to the projection of energy out of your body. I mean, instead of sending a probe out, you tuck the probe and you absorb it into an environment. And it doesn't necessarily mean it was your energy that spread so wide. You tapped into a larger energy that fed you this information. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like a small computer hooking into the internet. You see what I'm saying? You are not the planet of all these computers. You just have the resources to collect that data. And that's what happened.
So I just tapped into everything's energy.
Correct. You became a database of a computer collecting data. And you just put together pertinent, which is the information that was important to you or what you desired. Most generic psychics or mundane spiritualists don't understand this concept at all.
What's déjà vu?
Deja vu is supposedly the ability to foresee a coming event momentarily before it happens. There are many argumentative cases of deja vu. One of them being that one part of the hemisphere of your brain goes a little slower than the other half, which makes you think that you know something before it happens. And I believe that that may be the case in rare cases. Although, I know many cases where people will finish off conversations before they're set, or will describe things around the corner as they're excited that they've been there, that there's no way that they could have known around the corner unless everybody's brain is slowed down at the same time, which I find unlikely.
Right.
So what it is in truth, in my opinion, is it's the natural ability that we all have psychically to foresee the future. And you can get a muscle spasm, per se, in your muscle, or in your arm, or your leg, or your arm, a specific area. What I call a deja vu is a sporadic twitching of the psychic pineal gland, which gives you these abilities in your brain. And it just instantaneously kind of gives you some kind of data instead of willfully willing.
So deja vus can happen with any of your senses, though, right?
Yes. Any of your senses can connect with deja vu. All of your sensories, smell, touch, hearing, sight, are really set at a limited amount. Let's say you from 1 to 100, you're actually set at about maybe 25 or 30. And you think it's your maximum, but in truth, it's not. I mean, there's times you can smell things, and they can be so overpowering to you that nobody else really can smell, but you become nauseated or sick from it because your nasal glands become enhanced, intensified. Well, that's above normal senses. Keep in mind, extrasensory perception, ESP, extrasensory perception, exceeding, extra. Hearing, there's times when your hearing's fine and all of a sudden you get high twitches and high pitches and whatever else. They go up and above that 35 mark. Sometimes you see things, energy, things out of the corner of your eyes, people walking in the dark, and maybe you see energy in a room like the force and stuff. This is, again, higher than the average setting. So the brain has the capability of enhancing anything. I mean, constantly with computers, we think that the only way they're going to run faster or better is by buying a better computer chip or a more powerful component. And then we find people who write computer software programs and put it in, and it doubles the memory without having to add anything electrically, just by the commands that it's told to do, to work a little differently. So if the brain can be trained to really go to higher levels, which is primarily what you're here to learn, then the limits, we have no idea what they could be.
So do you mean in a sense that instead of adding things from the outside, you just use what...
You use what you have already, but you enhance all those by 100 times.
And it's just by using it or
by exercising, by thinking about it, by recognizing when you're doing something, what you're doing. For instance, he had the experience, okay, of knowing what he knew, okay? And if he knew what if it happened to him by chance, which it may happen again, the next time it happens, instead of just collecting that basic data, he's going to ask himself the ultimate question. What am I feeling right now that I can recreate to do this next time at will? In other words, what are the circumstances of my mind or the conditions of my thought at this very moment that's making me experience this? And then he's willfully going to push himself to know more, because now he's not overwhelmed by the excitedness of it. He's got data to say, I understand what's going on, so let's try to experiment with it now in other ways. And this is the Mandela of growing knowledge. It's the expansion of absorbing even more. But do you follow what I'm saying?
Well, that actually happens to me all the time.
Well, now if it happens, see, all these times it's happened and you've just basically just kind of experienced
it. I knew it was the energy.
Right.
I was feeling, I just didn't realize, like, I didn't think, well, that's how I found my gas.
Right. So the more, or the next time you experience it, you're going to take it to higher levels now, just for the sheer fact that you comprehend more.
I try to explain that to Steve. Remember, I feel like I look at the tree leg, also, and I feel like I'm a tree leg.
All right, that's nice. Right. Anyway, so that's the effect of that. And so what you're trying to do with any psychic ability is to enhance what you already have. There are even things that you can do already that you have no knowledge that you are capable of doing. They're just very latent and in a sleep almost. Sensories that we've had from prehistoric times to current times to whatever. We have all these abilities locked away in our own brain. It's just a matter of reviving them and utilizing them with an intelligent will that we didn't have maybe 10,000, 30, 40, 50,000 years ago.
So then do you think that instant just happened, or was there something behind it that caused it to happen that he can use to recreate?
I think that sometimes people's brains are formed a certain way, and it's kind of like having a wire that's loose. The stereo works perfectly every single time, but if somebody walks past it and creates a little tiny bit of wind, it's enough to short it out because it gets too close, a millisecond too close to an object. Well, I think that some people's brains are the same way, that they don't have that ability, they don't have it, and all of a sudden, because of the latitude or longitude of where they're driving or something they ate or the air pressure in the air from the sky pressure or air pressure, sets it off for a moment. I think that all the circumstances fall in line by coincidence, and it happens. And I think that's why it happens with him, because if he could do that, well, he would do it all the time. He'd have a lot more information to give us. But the point is he doesn't have control over it. It just happens randomly, and he experiences it. So the idea is to figure out how to tap it at will, and then experiment with it to unlimited levels.
So